what are some things that we as a church family can join in prayer with you about, with you and Melissa and the work there at Living Hope? What are some specific things that we can be a partner in prayer with you about?
You know, for such a small church, 70, 80 people, we have a remarkable number of nurses in our church. And we counted the other day, you know, when all this started, I knew there was a lot and I had certain ones in mind, but I never really put a list of how many people do we have working as a medical professional. And some of these are, most of these are regular faithful attenders. A few of them are either family members, like a spouse, or someone who comes kind of fringe attends our church. We counted about 15 or 16 wow. different nurses. And we have one member of our church. Her name is Edith. And she works in a nursing home. And on her floor is completely filled with COVID-19 patients. She said that their floor has the capacity for 19 patients. And they have 14 or 15 of them right now. Wow. That they're caring with. She actually developed COVID-19 and she's recovered from it. So did her husband, who is an ER nurse. Both of them had COVID-19 and have recovered from it. So a long story short is what we pray about a lot is for our nurses. And, you know, we've had some of them call and just share stories about seeing people pass away from the disease and just the toll that takes. One nurse had two people pass away in the same day that she'd been caring for and was just really overwhelmed by that. But so praying for their health, praying for their strength, there's an emotional toll that goes through with that. There's a psychological toll. But spiritually as well, we've heard some of our nurses have chances to share about Christ. One Filipino lady was having a conversation with someone just the other day who was sick and was asking questions about forgiveness and about mm-hmm. eternal life. So that's something that we're praying for a lot. Another right now is just, you know, how to shepherd and lead people through the tensions that we're facing. You know, it's challenging times here. There's a lot of people who are fearful about the disease. There are others that are, you know, wrestling through all the tensions going on, you know, with the current atmosphere that's taking place. And there's a lot of hurting people with that, a lot of people with questions and fears. And so that brings unique challenges. And it makes it even more challenging when we're not really able all to meet together and hear from each other in that way. Two others, if you don't mind me mentioning, is for the last several years, we've been doing something. It didn't originate with us. A number of churches do it. They're called D groups. 3 to 5 men get together once a week. 3 to 5 women get together to encourage each other, pray, study the word, memorize scripture. And we're really seeing some amazing fruit from that. We have probably 12 to 15 people that are meeting like that. Right now they're meeting virtually, but getting together, and we're just seeing some wonderful things from that. I know the men's group I meet with, it's one of the highlights of my week, with Friday morning, getting together with these brothers. One Jewish guy who came to Christ a couple years ago, incredible story. He's the first Christian in his family, on fire for the Lord. He's a graduate from Northwestern. And then also a Nigerian brother who's just loves his family, loves Christ. I mean, I'm learning from these guys as much as they're learning from me, I feel like. And just and then we have 2 or 3 lady groups that are meeting together. And so please pray for that, because this has the potential of seeing our church multiply in so many ways. And then on a personal level, last thing I'll mention, on a personal level with Melissa's pregnancy, we'd appreciate your prayer. She's doing fine. She's doing great. But she's entering the third trimester. We're moving closer towards that day. And then hospitals are still, you know, experiencing a lot of challenges here. And there's a lot of uncertainty about, you know, whether or not I'll even be able to be with Melissa whenever the baby is born. And just and we have another lady in our church who just found out she is with child. So pray for those things.
Absolutely. Do this, brother, as we come to a close here in the next few minutes, bring us bring us a word. What's something the Lord's put on your heart that you feel like could be a help to us as we close out our program tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. So a few years ago, I was doing a study through Ephesians, and in considering some of the topics that we've talked about tonight and just some of the things going on in the world right now, I find that Ephesians, especially the last part of Ephesians, has been so encouraging, so insightful and helpful in how to think through what's going on, how to apply some of these truths to our lives. So I want to just share with you some truths and thoughts from Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11 through 22 is the primary text that I'm going to be looking at. We don't have time for a real detailed examination of it. But if you look at verse 12, I think it gives the biography, or at least the past testimony of every child of God, especially those of us who are Gentiles. And three things that are said about us prior to Christ is that we were Christless, hopeless, and godless. A condition that we were in prior to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 13, Paul says that what God has done for us is that he's brought us nigh. He's brought us near to himself by the blood of Christ. So the work that Jesus did by his death and shed blood on the cross has brought us near to God. Verse 16 amplifies that. What does it mean to be brought near to God? It means to be reconciled to him, that he might reconcile us both to God. But what I think I missed from this so much as I've studied this through the years or looked at it, what I've maybe overlooked, is the fact that what the gospel does is not only to bring us to reconciliation between God and man, but also brings reconciliation between man and man. Mm. Now, the most fundamental need is reconciliation between God and man. But it's interesting that he talks about this kind of plural usage all through this as he begins through this. In verse 14, he is our peace. Mm. He's made both one. He's broken down this middle wall of partition between us, or this dividing wall. And so long, I thought that this dividing wall was the wall that was between my sin and God's holiness. And clearly that is true, and that's the most basic part of what he's saying here. But that's not all that he's saying here, that he's not only broken down the wall of division between sinful men and holy God, but he's also broken down the wall of division between man and man. The wall of division specifically between Jews and Gentiles. And that he says in the end of verse 15, that he's made them that were once two, he's made them one and brought them to peace. So we've not only, as Christians, we've not only been brought to God, but we've also been brought to one another. We've not only been united to Jesus, we've also been united to one another. And that wall of division that was between us and God has been broken down, but that wall of division that was between each other, for whatever reason, has been broken down as well. And that God has created a new humanity, that he's created this one new man. And I was thinking of this, how stunning the contrast is. You know, if you look at history and you consider what Adolf Hitler desired to do. He had this grand vision in his own mind of creating this master race, right, of pure Aryan blood. And the way that he was going to develop this, you know, new humanity, so to speak, this new master race, was by exterminating the other races, right? And just think of the contrast of the way that Jesus has gone about that, the way that he has brought about this new humanity is not by exterminating or destroying other ethnicities, but actually uniting them in himself by bringing all nations, tongues, kindreds, and bringing them together by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is getting at here, that he has brought them together so there's no more two but one, and he's reconciled them together. And a couple other things that just have really struck me through the years is verse 18. He says, now both Jew and Gentile, but all of the ethnicities, all the people groups who come to God by faith in Jesus Christ, each of them have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And then he goes on to talk about how that previously in verse 12, he talked about how that we were foreigners and strangers as it relates to our relationship with God. But then in verse 19, he says, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household, or literally of the family of God, a part of the family. So thinking about that we are all once strangers and foreigners and outcasts and separated from God and not citizens of the kingdom, but now we've been brought to the Lord and we've been made citizens. We're no longer strangers, but we are actually saints and family members. And then to close this all up, he ends this in chapter 2, verse 20 through 22. And he talks about this building that's being built. The foundation has been laid by the apostles and prophets. So the preaching of Jesus Christ is the cornerstone foundation of this building. And then this building is being put together. It's being fashioned and connected together. And he goes on to describe this analogy, and he says that he's talking to these Christians, you are the temple of the Lord. Now, so often when we think of the temple of the Lord, we think of our human bodies, because that's what 1 Corinthians 6 says. It says, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and how true that is. But our bodies are not the only temple of the Spirit. It's not the only temple of the Lord. In fact, 1 Corinthians 3, here in Ephesians 2, and in 1 Peter chapter 2, all three of those passages say that the church, Christians gathered together, are the temple of the Lord. And so he's growing this holy temple. And he says in verse 22 that you're being builded together as an habitation of God through the Spirit. And to me, this is beautiful. So the idea is that every time another person comes to faith in Christ, another brick is being added to the building. Yeah. So on one hand, it's a building under construction. But on the other hand, while this building is being constructed, God is inhabiting it. So he's living in this building. He's dwelling in this building. But the building is not fully complete yet. So he's building it still, but he's inhabiting it all the while. And so I've just been struck by this and compelled by this. And I think this is the message and the truth that people's hearts truly long for, is this reality that only Christ can bring about, where people from different backgrounds and cultures and ethnicities and experiences and social status, financial status and life stages, all of those things that we can talk about and that are constantly before us right now. And what we see is that Jesus has brought, through his death, he's broken down the wall that divides, and he's actually brought together in making one new person through it all. And so I know that these things are dealing of a spiritual nature, and it's talking about spiritually that we were foreigners, spiritually we were orphans, spiritually we were without hope, spiritually we were outcasts. But what I've found, I think, studying these things out over the last several years and being here and living in this kind of community, it's helped me, and the Lord has really had to do a work in me, because it wasn't the natural way that I think I processed things before. But it's helped me to have, I think, more of a compassion and a kindness and a respect for people that are very different from me.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the way that I treat them, the way that I think about them, the way that I interact with them. And so I think these truths, I think in so many ways, help us to deal with the situations that we face. And I think, for instance, seeing that we were outcasts helps us to look at other people in the world without this condescending, arrogant attitude. It helps us to see that spiritually, even worse than the physical aspects of it, but spiritually and eternally, I was an outcast. I was separated from God. I had no hope, but he's brought me near. I was once an orphan, and now he's brought me into the family, and he has loved me. And I think, you know, again, all the issues are complex. There are so many factors that are interwoven into the political issues and the racial issues and the tensions that are going on. And often I think we consider them to be just kind of plain and cut and dry and simple. And sometimes they are, but most of the time they're not.
That's right.
There's a lot of things intermingled in there that we don't realize, that we don't see eye to eye with. And I'm not an economist. I'm not a politician. I don't write policy. I'm a novice at so many of those things. And I don't even begin to say that I have all the answers for how we deal with the problems of America, of our cities. The only thing that I'm saying is that I think that this passage on a biblical and theological level has helped me to understand my relationship with Christ.
Yeah.
And through that, it's helped me maybe on a practical and a personal level, at least have somewhat more of a compassion and a kindness and a gentleness about the way that I want to treat other people and the way that I interact with them. I think it can be easy for us to disregard people that we disagree with. And I think what the scripture would say to us is that we can have our strong views about politics and economics and all of these things. But at the end of the day, we want to make sure that whatever our views are about those things, we can also treat people with kindness and respect and as image bearers of God. And so as I was reading this, and then I've been thinking through lately, James chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, which talks about how that on one hand we can bless God, but on the other hand we can curse men who are made out of the similitude of God or made in the image of God.
Yeah.
And I think that's ultimately some of the practical implications of what a text like this can do. It can help us to see that without Jesus, I am hopeless, helpless. And so with his grace, I am someone who has received remarkable compassion and mercy and grace. And so as I look out at the troubling landscape of the world around me, I may not agree with what people are doing and the way they're going about it. And in fact, I may actually have some very, very strong views about what needs to happen, but I could also have compassion and respect and kindness towards them.
Sure.
And I think that's what this has to do with. And so that's some of the things the Lord has been working in my life about concerning this, and just the encouragement to see that, you know, before, without the Lord, foreigner, orphan, enemy, rebel, stranger, but now in Christ, a new seat has been brought to the table in the family of God for me. A full citizenship has been granted to me in the kingdom of God, and that the Lord is now my own. And so I've just been rejoicing in that and trying to find a way not only to teach that most important doctrinal theological lesson to people, but also trying to help our church to see how that this can also even impact the way that we deal with people on a relational level.
Yes, sir. Well, brother, thank you for sharing. And I'm going to ask you in just a moment if you would close our service in prayer. Mm-hmm. But I want to say just a word to our people. And this is something, Brother Daniel, that y'all can pray with us about. We're entering into our building this coming Sunday at 10:30. So a word to our people. I want to encourage Faith Church folks, remember that we have cleaned the building. It's going to be sanitized as much as humanly possible. I would admonish and ask for folks to get here early. Of course, you don't have to get here at 9:30, but get here, you know, let's try not to have a 9:27 mad or a 10:27 mad rush into the parking lot and into the facilities, because it will take some time for our ushers to truly escort you to the available seating, spaced out with the correct distance from the other families and folks. but we want you to be confident and comfortable in coming and know that we have taken every precaution necessary in order to make it healthy, make it feasible for us to gather and worship corporately. So Faith Church family, be in prayer. Get the word out. We realize that as much as we've tried to say about it, we realize there's still some that don't know, even though we've tried to call and send out church cast messages. Please help us get the word out. And then certainly be in prayer. If the presence of Jesus is not manifested, we just as well stay at the house. And so pray. And I really believe, I know the Lord's going to meet with us and bless us and change us and speak to us. So, Brother Daniel, we love you and Miss Melissa, your precious children. Thank you for letting us partner with you. It is a high honor and a high privilege on our part to come alongside of you. And, Brother, would you close us tonight in prayer?
Father, we love you, and we're grateful for your mercy and grace and for all that you are to us, all that you have done for us. Lord, we are truly blessed, and we rejoice in you. God, thank you for Faith Church, for so many decades of faithful gospel ministry. Thank you for the fact that they can open the doors up in the building and gather together inside of their sanctuary and celebrate your goodness, sing together, pray together, hear your word, be encouraged. And so, Lord, we just pray for their service on Sunday, for you to be glorified through it, for everyone to be healthy and well, safe, and encouraged by their time together. Lord, we pray for your wisdom upon each of us as we seek to be your ambassadors in our families, in our neighborhoods, where we work and live, and in our communities. God, we know that you are the only one who has the power and the knowledge and the wisdom to bring about the kind of solutions and answers that are necessary for hurting people around the world. And we just confess and humbly acknowledge that we don't have those answers. In many ways, Lord, we don't even know where to begin. What we know to do is to seek you and to look into your word and to ask you for your grace and humility and compassion to be in our hearts as we seek to love people and we seek to share faithfully your word. And so thank you for the truths that we've looked at in Ephesians. We pray, God, that from it, you would help us to just continually understand what all you have done for us and the wonderful privileges of grace that are ours in Jesus Christ. And we pray that you would give us a heart for the nations and a heart for neighbors. Mm-hmm. We pray that we'd see people come to faith in Christ. And even through COVID-19 pandemic and the relational tensions that are going on in the nation right now, we pray that in maybe 1 year from now or 5 years from now or 25 years from now, that we will hear testimonies of people describing what brought them to saving faith in you.
Yes.
And that it will be that they saw the love and genuine concern and compassion and grace in your people, and that it caused their hearts to be opened up to what was different about your people than them, which led to them hearing the good news of Jesus and becoming your own children. So, Lord, use us in that way. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.